So that sounds, I mean, that's a, it sounds like a person talking, you know, it sounds maybe a little bit like, you know, you can probably tell it's not a real person. This stuff has improved a lot. This was in 2016. And there were speech synthesis systems at the time, but they were really took like, you know, like little segments of someone talking and pieced them together. And this is, didn't work that way at all. It really is like making the waveform like from scratch. And it didn't really have any expert, you know, intervention in there. So it's really like it was a new capability and got people quite excited. The same year, there was some progress in making images. And again, no one had ever seen anything like this really. So these are images of birds and ants, monastery, volcanoes. And, you know, they look recognizable. They don't look great. You know, I mean, these birds look pretty funny. The ants look like they got stepped on. The monastery is, you know, looks a little bit great, you know, but volcanoes look okay. But you could think of this maybe as like a child learning to draw or something, okay? It's like, you know, good job, keep it up, you know. But this was 2016. Within 2 years, the images look like this. So these were trained on these models were given lots of pictures of examples of people's faces and celebrities. And then you say, basically, make me another image of a celebrity. But these people don't exist. These people never walk the earth. You know, so it basically, it's like drawing what it imagines a celebrity might look like, right? And so this is like, you know, it looks very, very good. You're hard pressed to tell what's that these are not real real people. And somehow the way they work is just very, very different than anything that was done before. So this got people quite excited. And then around the same time, there was the first progress, well, first significant progress or kind of a milestone in modeling text. Okay, so not images and not sound, but just like what you would type on, you know, a word processor or something. And this really, you know, got the attention of the world pretty quickly. So you really started to be able to have these things write sentences or paragraphs or, and at first they weren't great, I remember around like 2018, 2019, you would ask it to write a short story and it was like, you know, it was sort of passable, but it would kind of lose the plot halfway through and it would turn into something that wasn't very coherent. But very quickly that changed and they started training these models on essentially all the text that you could find on the internet. And then in November of 2022, which was, you know, not very long ago, that's when ChatGPT was launched and basically everything changed. So those models were just so, so good at working with text that it got basically everybody's attention and AI became like something that everybody's talking about now. And so here's just one plot that shows different things that you've heard of, maybe Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, these different services. ChatGPT, these are plots of how long did it take them to get 100 million users in months. And so, you know, Facebook was like 45 months and ChatGPT was 2. So like, I mean, it was like a shot heard around the world when this was released. And so so that's, you know, partially why you're here tonight. So if I were to just add the last little layer of terminology, we started with AI, as it was described in the 1950s, and then you go to machine learning in the 1980s, deep learning that started to take off in about 2010, and then there's this kind of confusing thing that within deep learning, there's this generative AI, which has taken off in the last few years, but many people just call this innermost thing AI. So that's partially one of the things I wanted to leave you with is that AI is kind of a confusing term right now because it's both the really big idea that we can do general purpose things. And it's also this very specific technology that's really good at making images of people or audio or text. And so it's a little bit confusing about how to communicate. But this term generative AI is a little bit more specific. And so that's why I put that there. All right, so that's my kind of quick tour. So I'm going to just tell you a little bit now about my personal journey briefly, and then some other things that were happening before I kind of tee up to what's exciting about AI for science that's happening now and as we look to the future. So as for myself, I was in high school when I first heard about neural networks and machine learning, and I had a good friend and he gave me this notebook and I was trying to teach myself how to program a computer. And so as luck would have it, I programmed my first neural network when I was in high school in 1993. So I've been at it for a while, but that's not what I did during college and graduate school. Instead, I went to be a physicist, a particle physicist, and I worked on this gargantuan machine that's like the size of an 11-story building in Geneva, Switzerland, at the Large Hadron Collider, searching for the most fundamental building blocks of nature. And in 2012, we discovered this particle called the Higgs boson, which is a pretty big deal, and it led to the Nobel Prize in 2013. And that was a very, very exciting time. I mean, as a high point for my scientific career was to be part of this whole thing.